I'm getting stared at. There's two dogs are staring me down. Just they will not stop looking at me.
Is it time for them to eat?
No, they just ate. They're, I don't know what's happening, but anyway, this is a podcast.
Are you sure? Or is it my stand-up debut?
Oh,
are you sure?
Oh, mm. Yeah. Everyone's different today, I guess, except for me. This Yos is racist. Tawny on the handheld microphone.
Handheld SM57. Like I'm doing a club gig. Like I'm just doing a quick 10.
Mm-hmm. Quick 10 minutes. No problem. Mm-hmm.
The tripod, which admittedly is very cheap, that normally holds this microphone. Normally I record in a completely different place with a completely different microphone. But when I use this one, the cheap tripod literally just fell apart in my hand as we started rolling. So I'm just Seinfeld in it. I'm just Ali Wong in it, you guys. Those are the only two stand-ups I recognize.
The pacing, I will say, is unnerving. I don't love your pacing. You're just like...
Comedy is timing, man.
Your timing. Laser, yeah.
Hey, I just got to try to work through some
what
stuff.
Else?
These are early bits, you know? What else?
What else?
Wind, huh? Guys, who let that in?
Producer Kevin got, to my eye, two couches. Although I know it's just one, but it looks to me like he got two couches.
I'm thriving with the couches. Look out, world.
Damn, you can sit.
I do. I had one, and then I gained another. So the hard work's paying off.
I guess I just never noticed the first one.
Because it was never in view.
Okay. Oh, okay, okay.
I'm facing a different way.
I see. Okay, so everyone is throwing out a new view for the podcast today.
New aesthetic.
Yeah.
You know, what's most important about podcasts, when you've been doing a podcast for a few years now, it's mostly important to shake it up visually to bring
get
a new
that right
energy.
Look.
Mm-hmm. Because even though the listeners can't see it, they will feel this new, newly oriented Kevin and Tawny. And they'll feel it.
Mm-hmm. And they'll feel stability with Andrew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Andrew's the grounding presence. Me and Kevin were the chaos elements.
For the wild cards.
You know what else was chaotic? This feels like 8 million years ago, but that Oprah interview with Meghan Markle and Harry, whatever their names are, Windsor, Mount Climber, Higginbottom or whatever. I don't know those people's names. So we recorded early last week, always bites us in the ass, and we discussed briefly... The claims from a palace staffer about Meghan Markle bullying someone. We talked about that. But then we recorded that like hours before this huge interview came out. And then the episode of ours didn't come out until after everyone was already talking about that. So it felt very stale. But so now it still feels stale because now that was a long time ago. But we can keep talking about it now.
Mm-hmm. So I did not manage to actually watch the actual interview because I was like, I think I know where this is going. I don't know. Oh, and I had work. That's what happened. I was busy as fuck this week. What did we get wrong?
Well, we didn't get anything wrong, but it's just that there were so many bigger allegations that came out and just so much more shit to talk about that us talking about the bullying, it was just like old news.
I see.
The main things were that Meghan revealed to Oprah that an unnamed member of the royal family had one or two conversations with Harry about how dark Archie's, their son's skin was going to be before he was born and what that would mean for, you know, the family and the Commonwealth. I don't know. And that's the moment that you see memed all the time because it's Oprah just saying, what? With the most perfectly aspirated teeth. What? They said this to you?
Is that also the who is having that conversation moment? Or
yeah,
was that...
who is having that conversation?
Oh my God.
I'll tell you what. Oprah's been in the game a long time, and what she's not going to do is leave a tea on the table. She will gather all of her teas. You will hear them all. You will hear Oprah's teas. That is a life in journalism.
I wonder, do you think I find myself over-pronunciating teas around British people? I will just say that.
Oh, sure. I'm either doing that or I'm like trying really hard to sound like chill, like I'm not doing it, and then I just sound insane.
Yeah. Because that's the biggest part of the Midwest accent that I have is dropping the T's on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
On stuff.
Well, Americans, all of our T's are D's, and it's stressful. Yeah. It's stressful to Caribbean folk. It's stressful to, you know, other English speakers who speak their T's. Mm-hmm. We sound wild. Not Oprah. She's got it under control.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the other parts about, you know, Archie being denied palace security. You know, it's not news to most of us. It is news to some people. There's a tiny margin of people who this is news to. Mm-hmm. There's mostly large chunks of us who are like, yeah, racism. This is racism, and she was a victim of racism. And then there's a large group of people who are like, she's awful. She's playing the victim. You know, there's this whole like poisoned, like Daily Mail poisoned swath of people in the UK, especially that think that she's bad for some reason, which is also racism. And then in the middle, there's a tiny sliver of people that are like, oh my God, I didn't know this was happening to her. What poor thing. So I guess that's who this interview was for, is all of those people.
I guess it is the thing. I mean, it's like a thing that we have with this show, right? It's like, how many times do you have to tell white people the same basic shit before it's their fault that they don't know it?
Mm.
Like, because mm-hmm. it's like, okay, I know you can be well-meaning, but like, how unaware are you of world history, culture in general, that you are like surprised by this? And at what point does it become your fault? Mm-hmm. That's like the fundamental question of this show.
Right.
I mean, another thing that they did is, what's his face? William? Which is not...
Brother?
The other brother made an announcement that's like, we're not racist.
And he showed up with a... I'm sorry, I don't know who this person is, but what appeared to be a random black woman. Just mm-hmm. It's just him, Kate Middleton, and a delightful looking black woman in like a colorful top. And I'm like, who is this? Where did she come from? It's never, I think friend of the show, Dwayne Perkins tweeted, if you're accused of being racist, it is never a good idea to just start appearing with a black person we've never seen before. Like, it doesn't do what you think it's doing. It does the opposite. It doesn't work.
Well, I mean, just in general, if you have a press conference, I mean, that's why, like, this show, I talked about on the blog a lot, which is, like, racists don't get to say whether or not they're racist. Mm-hmm. Like, since when do we put those fuckers in charge of this shit? So, I'm just like, if you're ever giving a press conference to say, I'm not racist, you're racist. Like, because if you've been accused of something racist, what you actually say is like, you know, I did not intend to do this, but I understand. And like the history of this is that it's like, if you are flat denying it, then you are completely racist.
Because a normal person would go, oh my God, I am so sorry that whatever I did came off that way. Let me fix whatever I was doing. Cause it's coming off sideways.
Yeah. Or it is. And like, I'm living and learning and you know, I'm a fucking, you know, generations inbred idiot who's been given stuff as a leech of the state my entire life. So forgive me for not knowing all the facts about history. Like, that's all you have to say. There's your statement, William.
You should write for William.
You know, my William packet is in the mail. Like, I gotta get on that William apology press release circuit.
Gotta do it. There were other bombshells in the interview that are a little more like tabloidy that I don't think we deal with really on this show. Just stuff about like her and Kate Middleton getting into an argument, something. But another thing that really was sad to me and I wanted to talk about was, Megan said that she reached out to palace officials. I don't even know how the fuck this works. Like the most insidious organization that I ever worked for. Let me shut up, because I was going to say something, but then I started thinking of my history of employment, and I'm like, I don't want to get into this, because I'd like to keep working in this town. But but I'm like, who do you have to go to when you are trying to go to someone for help with, like, mental health issues? Mm-hmm. She was saying that she was suicidal, she was having really dark thoughts, and no one would help her. They said it would look bad for her to seek help. Like, one, if y'all can hide all of their affairs and, you know, ill-begotten children or whatever, you can hide somebody going to Zoom therapy once a week. Two, and why it's more important to this show is, like, the number of times that Black women especially either avoid seeking therapy or help with mental health issues, or are flat out denied it by whomever they need to go to get permission to do it, because of this image of, like, us being strong and us getting through things, and this, you know, large issue in the Black community of not always going to therapy and valuing therapy. Mm-hmm. So the fact that this is the Black woman with maybe the most quote unquote status in the world, right? She has mm-hmm. all this money and power and privilege. She's in the royal family and she can't get help. Mm-hmm. So imagine all the Black women who are just working their regular jobs and their regular lives who can't get help for one reason or another.
That's, yeah, I was thinking about that, it's a thing in my various times at work. We've spent a lot of time talking about, like, the insidiousness of the strong Black woman stereotype. You know, to me, it, like, dovetails mm-hmm. from my personal experience of, like, oh, East Asian people are, like, smart, quote unquote.
Smart, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the way that positive stereotypes still fuck you up.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
It's bad for everybody. Well, no, it's not bad for white people. White people thrive under giving everyone else stereotypes.
I think the thing is that it's not always bad. You know, the strong Black woman stereotype came out of a reaction to the way Black women were being portrayed in media, you know, in Blaxploitation mm-hmm. films, and just as mammies and as, you know, wives missing their children, you know, just as not great examples of Black women. So it was this... overcorrection of, like, well, actually Black women are strong. The problem mm-hmm. is it's just such an absolute that it doesn't leave room for, you know, it's both bad and good. It can make things really hard on someone who happens to be Black and is very weak.
Yeah. it's okay to not have to, like, be beyond what you are. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, I guess that's the thing. It's like, you know, the reason it's insidious is because it's the two sides of, like, simply refusing to see, in this case, Black people as people. They mm-hmm. just have to be a thing that fits in a bucket. And, like,
yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway,
forward to telling you stuff a week later on this podcast. We look forward to talking about stuff when the tea is ice cold.
For what it's worth, actually, I managed to get a pretty viral tweet out of it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I just made a joke about how it's cool that all these, like, people who are patriots, their list of people to defend in the last year is Nazis, the Confederacy, and the British royal family. It's like, how much do you really love America, you fucking traitors?
Right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously... the British royal family, gross. America, gross. That's where we're at. We did not discuss news this week beforehand, but I don't know if you guys saw, I just sent you guys a link. Basically, mm-hmm. some fucking announcer at, like, a, I believe it was a college women's basketball game, just called the players the N-word for kneeling. During the national anthem.
Mike was still hot.
I don't know if it's high school. Oh, it was high school sports. Sorry. That part is sort of, I mean, yeah, normal racist. Not the crazy part, but the part that got it onto Twitter to my attention is he apologized because he basically was like, in his apology, he blamed his diabetes on his racism.
And he said his sugar was spiking. Oh my God. This is offensive to all diabetics everywhere. Shout out to the diabetics who don't shout the N-word in public when their sugar is spiking.
Yeah. Do you know how easy it is to not do that?
Oh. He also used to be a youth pastor. I'm looking at a statement now, which is like, This is why we look at y'all sideways. I'm sorry, all white people, to categorize you, but I am categorizing mm-hmm. you as people we look at sideways, because until we know, we don't know. We don't know if you're cool until we know. And you can be a pastor. What else do you say? I'm married. I have two children. I was a pastor. I was a member of the Baptist church. All these things that seem like, oh, what a nice family man. But we don't know until you show us either good or bad. And usually it's bad.
Also, it's like, I like this idea we talked about a little bit last week, but it's like pretending that being a pastor is synonymous with moral goodness, like out of the bat, is fucking incorrect. All right. We don't need to beat that drum any further.
I love the part where he says, while the comments I made would certainly seem to indicate that I am racist, I am not. And I have never considered myself to be racist, and in short, cannot explain why I made these comments. That is some grade A. Like, how do you wrap your brain around those words and write them? Like, because I've never considered myself to be racist. Like,
I mean,
what?
we let the fact that a man who said the N-word on a mic on a television
girls' high school basketball game,
you know, talking, you know, denigrating people who are protesting police violence with a racial slur. Mm-hmm. The fact that we even entertain that this guy gets to tell us whether or not he thinks he's racist or not is fucking disgusting. Like, that's where we're at. And that's why this show is sort of eternal, right? Because it's like, it could be a yes, you know, he said, she said, or like, this is like the same drum over and over again. But racists never back down. And thus, we will constantly have material to work from.
Can't wait. The Evergreen show. In case anybody wants any more details on this person, don't know why you would, but just so that no one can claim we're not giving you all the info. His name is Matt Rowan, and this was the Norman High School girls basketball game against Midwest City. In case you want to look it up and, you know, decide for yourself. in case anyone's...
Yeah. Let's make sure to get the racist side of the story.
Got to. What should we do? Is there anything else? Should we take a little break?
Yeah. Let's
do it.
Let's listen to some ads. Everyone loves listening to ads, and then let's listen to voicemails afterwards.
Woohoo. And we're back. Wasn't that fun?
Wasn't it fun?
It was a great time.
I can't hear you.
Oh, shit. We're starting to do call and responses on the podcast. please participate.
we had fun. We love the ads.
The worst call and response would just be our title. Just us going, when we say, yo, is this? You say racist. Yo, is this? Yo, is this? People just shouting racist on their walk.
Just one time, though. Just shout. Just come try on, it, listeners. Do it. How'd it go?
Let us know.
Yeah.
Let's hear Colin. A voice mail.
Fan of the show. I am from the South. I am black, and my wife is Japanese, and, you know, we have interesting conversations. We were watching Finding Your Roots, Dr. Henry Louis Gates, and... we were watching the Anderson Cooper episode, and it came up that his grandfather was beaten to death by a rebellious slave. I found that hilarious, and my wife found that distasteful. So I laughed, and we got in a fight, and the ensuing conversation, you know, kind of left us at odds on it. So just seeing what y'all think. Thanks.
I think I was having trouble hearing the call. Yeah, can you recap?
That was a little soft. All right. Black man in the South who has a Japanese wife. They were watching a show. I can't remember the name of it, but it's the one where Henry Louis Gates Jr. like walks people through their genealogy, tracing their roots or something version of that.
Oh, yeah.
Anderson Cooper was on it. And apparently, during the episode, there's a revelation that Anderson Cooper's grandfather was beaten to death in a slave revolt. And the caller found it funny. And his wife did not.
I guess I instantly found it funny, too. So there's the verdict on that.
Yeah.
I mean, anyone who is killed Look, let's not say that anyone who's killed in a slave revolt was bad, because maybe there were, you know, other white people working there who didn't have a choice. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say, if there was an insurrection at your grandfather's plantation or great grandfather's or whatever, we're just going to chalk that up to they needed to go.
Yeah, I see where the wife is coming from in that, like, laughing at human death, kind of no matter whose it is, probably makes you a smaller person in some way. It lessens you somehow. However, that shit is extremely funny, and there is some level of, like, I mean, it is the, like, tragedy plus time equals comedy, right? Like,
right.
I feel
it's
like
also such a any insurrections or any slave revolts, it's not that I'm going to find them funny. I will always 100% be on the side of the slaves revolting. Like, any of the ones you hear about, yeah, you can get me to empathize for these slave owners a little bit. Like, I don't want anyone to die, but, like, there's just such a horrifying imbalance of power that then when it gets upended, that's always going to be good.
Yeah. It's funny to see the king slip on a banana peel, no matter what. Even if something very bad happens to the king, that is funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, like, also funny to have a slave owner die. It's just funny. I don't know. Is this now we're the small people, I feel like.
I see the point. Look, he laughed as, like, a knee jerk. I'm not saying that you should defend the comedy of it and, like, write it into your screenplays and shit. I don't know that I'm saying it's that. I'm not trying to defend that it's funny. I'm just defending that, like, it's, I don't know.
I think what is a little funny about it is the surprise and shock of it, that, like, that's not what you're expecting someone to say on that type of show. So it just, like, kind of catches you off guard a little bit.
right.
I don't expect Anderson Cooper to tell me that his grandfather died in a slave revolt.
Yes,
I don't expect that.
Right.
That is strange.
And when that is revealed, you cannot help but laugh. Yeah.
But I'm also on your wife's side, because, no, I don't like laughing at death, like real death that affects. We like Anderson Cooper, you know, maybe that affected him negatively. Who knows? I guess he didn't know the guy, but. Who knows? It could have affected his family. We don't love those things.
I mean, I'm still a little just like, yeah. I mean, look, because
the signature Andrew Paws.
That motherfucker is a Vanderbilt. And if you have a Southern University named
he's
after you, you are the source of a significant amount of human pain. So that's great all point. To me. I'm just like, I don't know. It's funny. Let's just say this. Those people from that generation of Vanderbilts, no matter how personally nice they may have been, did not receive justice by any, like, their lives were not fair to the world by definition.
Sure.
And thus, I don't know. I'm being like kind of a bad person, but I kind of still believe what I'm saying. So, I don't know.
That's fine. And I think I'm saying that both of you are, you're different people and you're both right. So, sorry, you're in a fight about it.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I also a little bit wonder, like, because he said his wife is Japanese and didn't say Japanese American. And if you'll permit me to walk down the road of this thought experiment a little bit, I do think there is a world where, like, other countries' atrocities, like, do not, it's way easier to not, you know, it's the same way that there's a bad analogy because it kind of involves the person, but it's like Americans don't think of, like, the Japanese atrocities of World War II as bad as the German atrocities.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Because it just felt, because it was happening to people that didn't look like them in any way.
Sure.
I just wonder if that's part of it too. Like, you're just like, you know, if a native Japanese person just may not quite get in a, on an emotional level.
Yeah.
That how, like, it, yeah. What slavery
how awful
is.
That,
yeah.
Yeah. If someone was killed in that type of a revolt, what yeah. awful things they must have done and what people they probably might have killed.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they're like, how complicit? I mean, look, any white person in the South at that point was sort of complicit in the system, but mm-hmm. well, you can leave that alone. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't totally remember the next voicemail, but I do not think it's any more lighthearted. So let's enjoy this episode, fucking assholes. Oh, it is more lighthearted.
Never mind. This white guy here, I was listening to an episode where someone called in about being queer and not swiping right on POC because she didn't feel that she could relate to them. I'm in kind of the reverse situation where I'm on these apps and I swipe left on every single white dude because as a white guy, I'm sick of white dudes also. Is that racist?
This mm-hmm. is a rare time when the caller is referencing a call that I remember because it wasn't that long ago. But I think they encapsulated it perfectly. That's what happened. Yeah. We had a caller that said that they weren't going to swipe on black and brown women because they didn't think that they could relate to them. Mm-hmm. And we were like, go ahead. Or I don't remember what we said. Probably just like, either. You're thinking about it too much. Just like who you like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this guy's sick of his own folks. What do we think about that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that this is like, I mean, I guess it's the other side of the coin of the other call, which again, we don't really remember what we said, but we have our thoughts. But it's like probably fine. However, there's always a world where this caller, you know, is sort of fetishizing people of color. Although it helps that he's just like, just no white dudes. That's all.
Or, okay, there's also a world where he's not fetishizing. He's fine. It's all innocent. But he just like brings it up.
Yeah, much. I know.
Like, outside of this podcast, I don't think you should tell anyone
yeah.
that this is what you're doing. Because it's not, yeah. it's never going to come out right.
Yeah, I think the larger thing that's super clear, and maybe neither caller does this, but it's like, and again, we create a special circumstance where people call in and are vulnerable and we mostly thank them, but sometimes come the fuck on. But like, there's mostly a world where like almost never when, especially when it comes to dating, where talking about race is a good move. Like, there is simply no, like, it's just so fraught and fucked up and incorrect. And, like, everyone has so much, like, we'll call it baggage. It's not really what I mean, but, yeah. you know, it's kind of a type of baggage as far as race goes.
Well, we have, like, social conditioning around race.
Yeah.
That even when you try to avoid it, then you're still avoiding it. You're never acting in the absence of that social conditioning.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's never like cool the way it's, we just never talk about it in the right way. It's right. So therefore, at least don't bring it up in a way where you can't, like, don't bring it up with people who are new to you,
yeah.
which is what dating apps is almost always. Like, just do your thing. And then when you're really in love with someone, you can tell them, hey, by the way, I had this whole scheme.
And it worked. I trapped you. Yeah, because I think I'm just like, I know we tease our callers a lot, but this person, for whatever reason, I'm like feeling very protective and I don't want people to mm-hmm. roll their eyes at you. So if you mm-hmm. tell the brown people that you end up on dates with, I said no white guys, many of them are going to roll their eyes at you. And I don't want that to happen because I think you sound like a normal person who's intentions are normal.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's avoid the eye roll. Just avoid the eye roll because, and not because of the eye roll itself, but because your defense of the against the eye roll is going to get you in trouble. Like, there's just yeah. no way you're going to talk your way out of the eye roll, even though you mean well. So, mm-hmm. and maybe the caller is already keeping it to himself, but fucking
I
better
have a
be.
Friend. I have a friend who is on the apps who started having, it's a woman who started having men of color, she's a woman of color, and men of color started, would like go on a date with her or would like swipe on her or message her or whatever and be like, I'm sick of dating white women, so like I'm here. Like they would say it straight up.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like she heard it enough that she was like, something's going on. Like mm-hmm. something's happening where like men of color are going, hey, I've only ever had white girlfriends and I'm going to stop doing that. So, hey, do you want to go out? And mm-hmm. it didn't make her feel great. Like none of them yeah. were awful guys. I think she talked to all of them, but it didn't make her feel like special.
Yeah. 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 Fucking at the very, yeah. And this, yeah, this goes for all people. It's like, just have the basic respect to not talk to, especially if you're a man talking to a woman, like just it's like ultimately just kind of sexist to just be like, well, you were my second choice. I just have a thing with a different race and I'm going to work out my issues with you. Work them out privately, folks.
And if your mentality is like, all right, I need to address the elephant in the room. And then they're like, I didn't know there was an elephant.
Yeah.
In the room.
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what I am to you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think it's just that's a very depressing thing about being on a dating app is like the number of, and dating women is the number of women whose profiles are just clearly the result of horrible experiences they've had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or just like, it's just so many people. And I'm just like, oh God, I feel bad. I don't really like contributing to this ecosystem, I guess, but it's like, you know, yeah. the number of people who's like no liars and cheaters on their yes. dating profile. And it was like, oof. I don't know that that's going to protect you, but I feel like the fact that you need that on there means your experience is significantly different than anything I could fathom.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just tough because it's like, no liars, no cheaters. It's like, feels like mostly liars and cheaters are not going to respect that.
Yeah.
There's a guy with a profile that just says, I know based on my previous actions, it seems like I'm a liar, but I want you to know that I'm not. And I've never considered myself to be a liar. Going forward, I will not be a liar anymore. I promise.
Should I do that? All right. Callers or listeners, at me if I should. At me and make a transcript of whatever Tawny just said, and I'll make that my dating profile.
You can find it. Just take Mark Rowan's I'm not a racist apology letter and just
replace
the word racist with liar.
Nah, you know?
You know how we ask liars if they're liars?
Replace pastor with podcaster.
Oh, no.
Replace family man with I have two lovely girly dogs.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
actually,
they're
I want to read that.
They're napping. Yeah. Let's fix my profile, folks. Let's get that out there. What are we doing? We talked fast. We have a little time to continue.
Mm-hmm. I'm still on my weird cleanse. I'm still on my weird acupuncturist cleanse. So I feel like my resting heart rate is now about 140.
Mm-hmm. It's like each time, like all of the blood in your body just like goes.
Yes.
Damn.
Just one big pump of the heart and it just, that's all the circulation I need.
Ha. That's blood.
Yep. Yep.
Oh man.
My experience a couple years ago to the like seeing no cheaters and liars was a lot of people putting I'm very humble in their description, which I thought was very funny that like people describe themselves as like modest mm-hmm. and humble. And so I referenced that in my description of like why does everyone call themselves modest and humble? And I got a few matches and a lot of them were people arguing with me saying, you actually can know that you're humble and talk about it. And I was like, okay, I'll delete that. I'm sorry, I guess.
Yeah.
Look, if I'm humble, I hope to never know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just no one tell me. I don't want, because mm-hmm. I don't really want to be. I'd rather just be like confident and normal and kind. That's all I care about. Humble to me, I'm like, who has time for that?
Yeah.
Man. All right. Listeners, write my profile for me and let's see how this does. This is a fun game.
It's a fun game. I think that's all for the episode. What do you think?
Yeah. I don't think there's I don't think there's any more racism news. So I don't know. We've moved sort of the personal catch up to Yo, Can We Live? And I know this is going to feel like a plug for that, but it is like, I think we're making an effort because this is normally where we would be talking about some shit that we did this week. But if we start doing that, what the fuck are we going to talk about in the other show?
We got a lot of love for the Duck Around and Find Out.
Oh, that's right.
Merch, so.
So, yeah, we're going to look into making Duck Around and Find Out in some way.
Literally, I mean, guys, I mean, just to be so transparent, like this is the entire team plus Nate. Like it's the three of us plus Nate. So right now, I believe Nate is building an exterior like closet to go around my water pump so that the pipes don't freeze. So once he's done with that, he will look into making merch.
Yes, this doesn't need to be number one on his priority list.
No, but I'm just saying, like, when people DM us lovingly and, like, asking about merch and stuff, we love that and we want to do it. There are four of us, and one of us has 12 acres of property to fully take care of right now.
Oh, I don't know if I mentioned, I think I forgot to, last week was my birthday week.
Oh, yes, happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. But I just wanted to say thanks to everyone who I'm assuming there were some from Twitter who I asked people... basically I got a couple, like, you know, people sent me like a Starbucks gift card or something that was very nice, but I was like, don't buy me stuff. Thank you to everyone who bought me stuff. Tony got me a very nice bottle of booze.
But I also did the thing you said, but I did know you needed tequila, so I sent you some tequila.
But I've been trying to work with a mutual aid group, doing a little work. I feel bad saying been working with, cause I've been like just barely contributing, and it's like a lot of folks who the philosophy of the group is that it's not really about personal, you know, personal contributions. We're kind of all in this together. So as I understand it, people, you know, it's not really like looking to get individual names out there, but this group Solidarity and Snacks, which has been like really doing a wonderful job helping to build, contributing to a community on Skid Row. I'm having trouble with the language because I am new to this and a bozo. But yeah, you know, so just thanks. And if anyone now is just hearing about it for the first time, first of all, of course, most importantly, happy birthday to Andrew. Everybody loves him so fucking much. But if you wanted to buy me like
there was a party in the street.
A little
they
something.
Said we can't come indoors because of COVID, but there was a party, a street party just started outside.
That was, I did call the cops on them. You know, I never call the cops, fuck the police, but this time I did call the cops. But to the extent that you would like to do anything, of course, besides sign up for suboptimalpods.com, you know, Solidarity and Snacks, send some money their way. Venmo, Solidarity and Snacks. That is all. That's a thing.
Yeah.
I wanted to say last week and I straight forgot.
All good. You can follow them on Insta to see what they're getting up to and to see any immediate needs. But Andrew's also good about regramming and reposting that stuff.
Yeah.
Ew, regramming doesn't sound as cool of a word as retweeting does.
It's nasty. Ugh.
Regramming. But, yikes.
Yeah. I don't know. Follow them. Follow Andrew T. Trondi Newman. Kevin Bartelt.
And just a quick plug for Suboptimal Pods, because I think there was a little confusion because people were like, wait, what if we don't want to sign up? How do we just support you guys? Blah, blah, blah. There is literally a tip jar option, which is just a dollar a month. That's literally just like, thanks for the racism help. There's no added perk to it. But if you are feeling like you want to support us, you can pay the little $1 a month thing paid in a once yearly thing of $12.
It's 12
It's like
bucks.
Getting a CD at the mall.
There was a mall flat CDs. Rate on taking the amount of money, and if we did it a dollar at a time, might as well not.
We would have only gotten like 30 cents of it. Yeah. So this is us learning how to be in business. But thanks for all your support for everyone who does subscribe. We've been having a lot of fun releasing all of our limited series pods. Andrew's going to do another watch along coming up. We've got more episodes of Dear Dairy and Drink Culture in the Hopper as well. But yeah, and then our premium show on Friday, Yo, Can We Live, where we just talk about fun shit, which we're going to record right now. So we are going to go. Goodbye.
Peace. Oh, 3233897223. Leave your racism voicemails. All right, bye.
Bye. This is Suboptimal.